Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Blitz is defined as a sudden savage attack. It is indeed all this. The effect is sure. The premise is simple. It's a basic primal confrontation, man to man. No excuses are offered. None accepted.
Welcome to the latest edition of Longhorn Blitz with Horns247.com.
Looks like a radio station.
Now, here are your hosts, lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers.
Pure athlete, yeah.
A transcend race, hombre.
Matt Butler.
I don't talk man. I back it up.
And we are chock full of that, man.
Damn right.
And Jeff Howe.
It's still real to me, damn it.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
If you're going to blitz, come strong, but don't come at all.
Coming strong with another edition of Longhorn Blitz with Horns 24/7. I am Jeff Howe. Let's not waste any time. Let me bring in the rest of the team. He is the master of the soundboard, the drop machine extraordinaire, our lead research analyst on Longhorn Blitz and a daily fantasy guru. He is Matt Butler. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty well, man. How about you?
I'll be honest, Matt. We're recording this on a Monday morning and Sunday night. Storms come through the area, and my three-year-old decided that was when she needed to get in the bed with my wife and I. So between being kicked and punched all night by a three-year-old, my Monday morning is off to a pretty sluggish start. So speaking of sluggish starts, I guess this is a sluggish Longhorn Blitz because we're down a member of the team.
Yep.
We do not have with us today our lockdown corner here on Longhorn Blitz. Lifetime Longhorn, 2002 UT All-American, 2002 semifinalist for the Jim Thorpe Award. Fourth-round draft choice of the New York Giants back in 2003. Spent his NFL career with the Giants, Lions, Bears, Bucks, Broncos, and a year with the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the CFL. When he was done with football, he got himself back to Austin, Texas, and the 40 Acres where he earned his degree. Whenever that T-ring comes in, we will make sure he wears it proudly. Nevertheless, he is a card-carrying member of DBU, and when you get that All-American honor recognized by the NCAA, they make sure you get one of those black cards. Number 21 in your program, number one in your hearts, Mr. Rod Babers is not with us today, and we often joke with Rod about needing to get his T-ring replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Rod got a ring of another kind over the weekend. Matt, Rod got married, so congratulations to Rod and Melissa on their wedding out in Lake Tahoe. So Rod will not be with us for the regular edition of the Blitz this week. We're potentially maybe working on something for later in the week, but we'll keep everybody updated on that. But worst case scenario, we will be back in here to record next Monday when Rod will be with us. So, but we march on, Matt. Have you and I? It's been a long time since you and I have done this show. I was going to say, have we done this in a while? And it's been. It's been a long time since it's just been you and I doing the
Words. Yeah, I was trying to go through my head to think of when was the last time Rod took a vacation, but he really never takes vacations, and I believe since we came to this building, it seems like it's been...
Oh, we've not done one by ourselves in this building.
Nope. The old house, I guess, would be where it's
at. This is, and for those that don't know, this is the original format of the Blitz, which is myself and Matt.
For about a month.
Yeah, and then we brought Rod on as kind of a guest host, and Rod was the house guest who never left. So we eventually formed Longhorn Blitz for that 2012 season, and we've just been motoring along ever since. But no, congratulations to Rod and his lovely bride. Looking forward to getting Rod back into the studio to be a part of the program. You can get Rod Babers and myself and Matt each and every week. Just search Horns 24/7 Podcasts anywhere you get your podcast. Click the follow button to get every episode of Longhorn Blitz, the flagship and state of recruiting. Longhorn Blitz, as everybody listening to this knows, drops every Tuesday morning, bright and early. So click that follow button. And don't forget to leave us a five-star review if you'd be so kind as to do so. Also got to remind you, get over to Horns 24/7. All your Longhorn news, notes, and nuggets, both on the recruiting trail and from a team standpoint, or over on the site. And that is pertinent this week because, Matt, we got camp starting up on Friday. Reporting day is Thursday. The first practice of the first fall camp of the Steve Sarkisian era takes place on Friday, and we made it. We made it through the offseason. We got to camp time. And, you know, Matt, as we start looking through kind of culling offseason information, I've made no bones about the fact that I'm not a huge fan of this Texas receiver group. And it's not that I don't think these guys aren't talented. They are talented. But there's a lot of unproven commodities. And your most proven commodity is, at this point, is Jordan Whittington, a guy that's definitely had his share of injuries. But I think at this point, Jordan Whittington's a guy that you've got to feel fairly good about just because he made it through spring healthy. And it does seem like, at least the hope is going into camp, that he's over those issues. But other than that, and Matt, I don't know if you've got any receiver numbers to go through, but when you talk about losing production from last season with Brennan Eagles moving on, Jake Smith transferring out, even taking into consideration Tariq Black's production, there's a lot of rotational spots, playing time that's going to be up for grabs at that position in camp. And I keep going back to what Steve Sarkisian said about that group at the end of spring ball and what he said about that group at Big 12 Media Days. And the messages were not that different, is they're just looking for more consistency across the board. And I say all that to say this, Matt, when we look at all the offseason reports that we had at Horns 24/7, and our latest edition of The Insider was wrapping up summer workouts, and Xavier Worthy's name keeps popping up a lot. And I guess if there's ever a time where you're going to buy into the hype of a true freshman wide receiver, man, this might be it, just because the conditions are ripe for that guy to come in and have a pretty big role in an offense where we feel like, and we discussed this last week, and we discussed this throughout the summer, I feel like this offense is going to be built around the running back position. So whatever touches are left for that receiver group, we know Keelan Robinson's going to gobble up some of those, as being, as Sark called him, the quote-unquote gadget play guy. But outside of that, everything seems to be up for grabs. And I'll be honest, I forget Joshua Moore's returning production. He was your leading receiver in terms of receptions last year, Joshua Moore coming back. But Xavier Worthy, his ability to take the top off of defense, that speed he brings to the table. As I said, Matt, if there's ever a time where you're going to buy into the hype on a true freshman wide receiver, do it now, because there's a lot of playing time up for grabs in this receiver group.
And also, that's exactly what we were saying last year at the beginning of fall camp, and ended up being O'Meary getting the injury and not being able to see a guy like him come in. But the fact that that sort of was felt as the room last year, and you were replacing so much at the time with Duvernay and with Colin Johnson leaving. And then when you look at, not only did O'Meary's injury happen, but then when you have the attrition this year and you have guys like Smith leave, or Eagles and Black, like you mentioned, below Joshua Moore, the 56 targets last season to Moore, then it's Eagles 48, Smith 38, and Tariq Black 24 before you get to Whittington 24, and right below him is Brendan Schooler, who's on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, who's not playing defense.
Exactly. So, like, and then you see Cade Brewer at 21 and Bijan Robinson 17. Jared Wiley only got 12, and you can sort of clump together Keontae and Roshan's 11 and 11, maybe, to be more of the dispersion that you're talking about to Keelan Robinson. So, yeah, you have a lot vacated there below Joshua Moore. And good thing is last year in camp, you thought you see a lot from O'Meary, and he could be that emerging freshman type guy. Now with a guy like Worthy, both of them being able to come in, like if they are performing that well, if they do stay healthy, it sort of fits the way that you see Sarkisian use his receivers, because he's a high snap type guy. When you look at his starters play more snaps than you would say average college starters play. Now, a lot of that can be the talent you have when you're at Alabama. Right. But when you have a guy like Jalen Waddle backing him up at the time the year before, you can't necessarily say that, because you still saw the hierarchy and the starters get the bulk of the snaps. So if you do get something from O'Meary and Worthy that, say, you've been expecting out of the guys because they just look that good on the field, then filling in the holes around Whittington and Moore maybe isn't going to be that tough. But when it's unproven, you don't necessarily know yet, so then it leaves a question.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read some snippets from our insider piece at Horns 24/7 that came out late last week, recapping summer workouts and who stood out. I'm reading verbatim from the piece right now. At receiver, freshman Xavier Worthy's name has come up all summer as a guy who appears to be a potential impact player from a speed and separation standpoint. Quote, let's see it in pads, but he certainly grabbed his teammates' attention, a source said. And here's something interesting, too, Matt. You mentioned Troy O'Meary. Another team source said Troy O'Meary, quote, needs to plug back into the fire he had during fall camp last year, end quote. And that's kind of my hesitation with the receiver group. Like, outside of Joshua Moore and, to an extent, Jordan Whittington, you can't leave to chance anything with any of these guys. Like, yes, Troy O'Meary had a really good camp up until a great camp last year up until the time he got hurt. But keep in mind, he wasn't even full contact throughout the spring. And even in the spring game, the couple of balls he caught, there were really, really quick whistles when guys got close to delivering contact to him. So, you know, I know we can be excited about Troy O'Meary. I know the picture of him posing next to DeAndre Hopkins that went viral a few weeks ago got everybody really excited. But I don't know, Matt. Like, all we're talking about with this receiver group outside of those two guys we continue to mention, Moore and Whittington, it's just all hype at this point.
And hope. And when you're dealing with hope in this situation, it's meaning that nothing's proven. It's sort of like that, you know, DKR quote is about potential. It means you aren't worth a darn right now. And that just is what comes with the territory in these situations. Now, you can be hopeful that these guys are going to go and do what, say, you expect based on certain, you know, reports and previous workouts. But you're right, even bringing up the injury, coming back from an injury and just normalizing yourself to full contact and those things, that just takes time naturally. And it does it like we saw all the way across all sports with guys. Injuries, you come back a lot sooner in ACLs and you see, you know, whatever the leg or extremity nowadays, it seems to allow players, the medicine just is so much better to come back quicker, but still mentally inside a player's brain has to get comfortable with coming back and cutting and doing all those things and bracing for contact. Football is a whole nother level. Not only do you have to feel confident in your skill, but then when you're being tackled every time, how do you feel that and go down with it? So it makes sense that a guy coming off of a what would be called a catastrophic knee injury at one point, it takes time to come back from.
You have snap numbers and target numbers for Alabama's wide receivers last year. While you pull those up, I we're mentioning all this, and I've had, you know, I've been on my soapbox all offseason about the receiver group, but as we start to look at camp battles and, like, where are the best position battles going to be in this camp, man, wide receiver is going to be one of those because you figure, and, Matt, you'll be able to verify this with pulling up the numbers. I mean, I don't think Sark is going to want a receiver rotation as deep as Tom Herman's was.
No, definitely
unless
not.
He has to have one, unless there's just no separation, and that could be no separation in a good way or a bad way, no separation for man. There's this group of, like, five or six guys outside of Smith, or not Jake Smith, outside of Whittington and Moore that you feel really good about, or, man, outside of Joshua Moore and Jordan Whittington, maybe there just aren't that many guys that Sark and Andre Coleman feel that great about. So it's going to cut both ways, but I do think ideally Sark would like to have a group of, you know, maybe four to five guys that he feels really good about. But again, that's going to come down to camp competition. And in that group, you've got Xavier Worthy, you've got Troy O'Meary, you've got Kelvonte Dixon, Marcus Washington is a guy who's flashed a little bit. You know, does Alvante Woodard enjoy kind of like the, I don't even know if you could call it a John Harris-esque emergence, because John Harris, at least, I think had caught a touchdown or two before he blew up and had a 1,000-yard season in 2014. So you start looking at all those bodies in the receiver room, and they're plentiful. I mean, a guy like Montrell Estell, everybody's favorite walk-on, and I say that in jest, knowing how some people feel about him. A guy like Kai Money, is it another one of these true freshmen? A Jaden Alexis, somebody like that. A Dejon Harrison, who opted out last year due to COVID. So you've got a lot of guys in that group that are going to be jockeying for playing time, and there are spots to be had outside of Smith and Whittington. But am I right, Matt? I think Sark probably his at least that sample at Alabama shows, hey, he probably doesn't want, like, seven or eight guys rotating in. He probably wants it cut down to like four or five.
Yeah, because you end up having, if you just go look at double-digit targets overall, well, first off, I'll give you the front number. You had 405 targets overall on Alabama, 326 from Texas. So a lot more passes, a lot more quantity over to Alabama, yet still Texas had 13 players with 10 or more targets. Alabama had eight, and Brian Robinson Jr. was the guy with 10. That's it. You know, when you look at, there were only seven guys ahead of that with 19 more. Now, guys over 50, you have Texas, one. That's Joshua Moore. Alabama,
Moore's
three.
Moore's at 56, right?
Yes, at 56. Okay. You have Alabama, three. Najee Harris, the running back, had 53. Then you have Mechie and Smith with 76 and 145. Below that, it cuts off. Waddle and Bolden had 32 and 29. Then your tight ends, Miller, Forrest, Stahl, sort of your more Cape Brewer-ish, you know, inline type guy.
Solid hand, you know what you got from
him. Exactly. He can flex out the way Cade does, but he was used more in line. He was 27 targets, and Billingsley was at 19. Okay. And then that's it, because below that, you have Brian Robinson, 10, and then you have 5-2. So, I mean, you look at just the top two receivers accounted to for more than 52%. You got out of 405 targets, you had 145 in 76. So you're talking right there, at the top of my head, 221 targets between the two of them. That's insane. Looking at Texas and going over to Texas, I mean, you're going 56 more, 48 Eagles, the 38 Smith, and then 24 Black, 24 Whittington, 23 Schuler. You have six wide receivers right there in the top six. But when you add them up, that's not even the amount of targets that were received to Smith and Mechie. So basically, you're combining those six guys, funneling through two receivers
to
Alabama,
now. Basically got what Alabama's top two guys got.
Yeah, exactly. And Waddle and Bolden were more of your slot-type guys in that offense that they used. So you look at the way that they disperse it, it's going to be three guys on the field in my eyes that you're going to see, and you're going to have a guy coming in for like a one every three sub if you look at a proportion.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about in terms of Sark and his propensity. I don't even know if you can call it a propensity, but his comfort level would be a better way to put it, of running a two-back offense with two tailbacks, whether that's 20 personnel, 21 personnel, whatever that looks like. I asked him about it at coaching school because he hadn't really – I'd asked him about some two-back stuff in the spring in a press conference setting, but I asked him about it at coaching school at his press conference there. And, you know, he admitted, Matt, and I'm finally glad he did it on the record, he said, you know, when he first got to Atlanta – he really tried to carry over as much of Kyle Shanahan's offense as he possibly could to fit it within the framework of what he does so that he's not going in right after a Super Bowl year and rocking the boat way too much. Mm-hmm. And that was when we saw, you know, their 21 and 20 personnel looks. And he even said because they used Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman so much in two tailback personnel, he said they actually, compared to other teams, they would actually deactivate a wide receiver to make sure they had those running back spots and tight end spots available. So we know Sark is going to mix it up and be much, 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 much less reliant on just strictly 11 personnel like Tom Herman was. And so that's really where you're looking at it. Like, I really think the hope, if you're a Texas fan, the hope should be as camp goes on and you start hearing about battles at the wide receiver position, that with Joshua Moore and with Jordan Whittington, whether it's Xavier Worthy or Marcus Washington, Kai Money, whoever it is, that you start to hear about really kind of a group of, I don't know, Matt, maybe it's like I said, three guys that really just start to separate themselves, and that's going to make things easier for Sark. Because if we're talking about this offense being built around that running back position, including Keelan Robinson as kind of that gadget play guy. Mm-hmm. And we know Sark likes that tight end group. You know what you're going to get from Cade Brewer. He's not going to be the second coming of David Thomas, but that's okay. He doesn't need to be to have a role in this offense. And we've talked all through last season and throughout the offseason how much we like Jared Wiley and his upside. And I really, even though it was a limited sample size, but based on what I've heard about Gunnar Helm and Juan Davis, I don't know if they're going to be able to contribute or be in a position to contribute heavily this season, but that tight end group is going to be a group that Sark leans on quite a bit. So you take that into consideration, the bodies you've got at tight end, the bodies you've got at running back. Yeah, we're spelling it out for you right now that it's really impossible to have a wide receiver rotation that's 7-8 guys deep unless you're just not sure about anybody. So basically what we're saying, Matt, is if the receiver rotation is that deep, it means that Sark and Andre Coleman have gone through a camp and really just aren't that confident with what they've got outside of those top two or three guys.
Yeah, it'd be a hint towards it being, you know, not good news for Texas fans
right.
in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, I would be viewing it from a fantasy perspective because the first thing you do is go look in for, you know, you want quantity. You want as many targets. And teams like, say, how Sark's ran his offenses wherever he's been, you get that volume, and that's what you really want. And that's along the same lines of what Texas fans wanted. They want the volume to the main guys. And I really think, you know, Bijan Robinson, his ability to be used in the passing game can't be undersold either, because even if the receivers, say, aren't as good as expected, or not one doesn't elevate above the other ones, seeing that Najee Harris was targeted 53 times. Remember, Texas's leading receiver last year was 56 times with Moore and 48 times with the Eagles. You had Smith at 38. Like, that's how much they threw to a guy like Najee Harris. And Najee Harris, he's more the, you know, just get vertical, catching the ball in the open field, not nearly as much variety in his routes run. He's the type of guy schemed open very easily. And if you can get the ball into Bijan's hands that way, in addition to the normal run game that we've talked about, the ability to help the rest of the passing game, it really cannot be undersold. You could really look at a huge season from him, not only on the ground, but combined from the two. Like, it would be unfathomable to talk about a 1,000-yard receiver, but all it takes is a couple big busts of a few plays, and you could have him pushing towards that number on both sides of the ball.
For sure. So as we start to look at camp battles, Matt, I think one, and we know the names along the offensive line, and we think we've got an idea of how it's going to go. And even if you go look at the insider from last week, Derek Kerstetter, Denzel Okafor, Christian Jones, and Jake Majors have all been solid on the offensive line in workouts and from a leadership standpoint, according to a team source. But maybe this is just me through this last decade of following this program, Matt. I keep looking for that guy. Every time there's a coaching change or a staff overhaul, there's one guy who was kind of lost in the shuffle that emerges as, oh, my gosh, where did this guy come from? And we talked about, maybe is that a Marcus Washington? Is that one of these receivers or somebody else? Maybe it's somebody on the offensive line. And the guy who apparently has had a really, really good offseason is Tope Amade, a super senior who, I don't know how many degrees Tope has from Texas at this point. I actually think he's working on his second master's degree.
That's awesome.
But this is what a source said about Tope Amade. Quote, Tope's in the leadership group. He's the size Sark and Kyle Flood are used to at Alabama, and he's gotten into really good shape. He could be a surprise guy at guard this season. So that is a position group, though, if you're Kyle Flood. Now, we talk about limiting the numbers of guys in a receiver rotation. But if you're Kyle Flood, as we know, Matt, most offensive line coaches, you want to go into a season ideally. Now, would you love to be truly too deep on the offensive line? Yeah, every line coach in football at any level would like to be like that. But I think the best case scenario for everybody is, could you have that group of probably seven or hopefully, like, you know, I think a best case scenario is eight. That means you've got one center guard, one guy who probably is your number three tackle, and then you've got your swing guy that can do a little bit of everything. Ideally, that's kind of what you want. But if Texas can come out of camp and Kyle Flood has options, like, that to me is the theme at the offensive line when you talk about competition. You don't want your five guys, because we've seen this some years at Texas, where your five guys are, man, these are just the five guys that we feel like have the best chance of not getting our quarterback killed. We don't think, you know, you're just kind of holding on. And for just lack of better options, these guys are your starters. No, or like, think about 2015, mm-hmm. like when you had to run Connor Williams and Patrick Vahe out there to start at Notre Dame on the road against a really good Notre Dame team because, man, you had nobody else. They were true freshmen. They were the best you had, and you had no other options. Now I just want to see Kyle Flood come out of this camp with some options on that offensive line. Like, if you can be in a position, like if Tope Amade is a starting caliber guy and you can be in a position where you can really put Derek Kerstetter in the position where you feel he helps you most And if that's right tackle because Amadi is that good at guard, or maybe that's guard because, you know, Christian Jones and, you know, I don't know, Denzel Okafor or whoever needs to step up at tackle, or maybe that's an Isaiah Hookfin coming off the shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. In other words, Tope Amadi, I think, Matt, in my opinion, if he's one of your top, your number six or your number seven or your number eight guy, and I think you're in a really good spot on the offensive line coming out of camp if that's the case.
Yeah, because we've talked about the ability just trying to manufacture depth, and if you get a veteran-type senior like that to be able to come in, and I know it's a limited amount of snaps, but according to Pro Football Focus, you know, he rated ahead of Kerstetter and Ungalau in pass blocking and only behind Cosmi, Rafidi, Gramai in limited snaps, and same with Andre Karich. So, like, you're talking about a guy that's...
I didn't even mention Karich.
Yeah, and those guys, when you look at Cosmi at the top, but you have Karich at 82.4 was his PFF grade, and then Gramai and
is this overall is pass blocking.
Pass blocking. Okay. Yep, that's pass. I can go to run blocking too next, but just looking at and seeing Amadi that high up there, it's pretty good. And Tope Amadi run blocking third, just behind Hookfin, and graded out as their number one last year, but very limited snaps, only played in one game. But Samuel Cosmi in 86.4, and Tope Amadi ranks third, so it's not bad.
No, not at all. So there's Tope Amadi is a name to keep an eye on the offensive line. And, man, I'm fascinated to see what happens with Kerstetter. Like, the center thing didn't really work out, and mm-hmm. I really like Jake Majors. I know Rod is a big Jake Majors fan, but now I just feel like you're in a position. I mean, Kerstetter, you feel like he's going to be your backup center, but I know the staff has been kind of tinkering with maybe looking at Junior Angulau at center. We'll see how all that plays out in camp, but – hey, Kerstetter's a guy that, you know, you didn't go into the portal to get anybody, but for lack of a better term, maybe he is your portal guy. And again, just being able to plug him in wherever you see that hole. We know it's not going to be at center, so it's going to be at one of the two guard spots or one of the two tackle spots. I like having the flexibility with Kerstetter rather than just pigeonholing him into a spot and saying, yeah, you're going to be here.
Well, and just having the safety of knowing that maybe a veteran that's easily adaptable to the situation, you know, every player is different, and some young guys can have that type of football IQ or just that awareness as a lineman to be plugged in. But a lot of staffs, you probably trust that you have a veteran guy that you can be able to figure it out if he's needed to put in case of emergency in this area.
Yeah, let's shift over to defense as we look at camp battles. And I don't know, Matt, if this is a camp battle, but we talked about this on this show, the need for Pete Kwiatkowski to be flexible week to week.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently one of the stars of the defensive line this summer was Moro Ojomo with his attitude and work ethic. He had a we forget, like, go back and think of the spring game. Moro Ojomo had a really good spring game, and this mm-hmm. is what a team source said, told Horns 24/7 about Moro Ojomo. Quote, he's really just getting into prime physical shape since he was so young when he was in high school. And I forget this about him. I know he's young, but you forget the number. He doesn't turn 20. And this is a guy that was in the 2018 recruiting class.
Wow.
He doesn't turn 20 until after fall camp starts. So between the start of camp and the Louisiana game, that's when Moro Ojomo has his 20th birthday.
Yeah, there's some kids like that in certain classes. Like, I know when it was KD enrolled at Texas, he was 17. But then you got high school kids like, say, Quinn Ewers right now going into senior year that's 18. So yeah, those are the type of things. Once you get to the NFL or the NBA, that's when they really look at those birthdays.
So we keep talking about the talent and the depth that this defensive line has. And I won't include Jacoby Jones in this right now just because we think of him more as an edge guy. But since that's where he was during the spring, but between Ojomo, Coburn, Collins, Broughton, and Tavondre Sweat coming back off the shoulder surgery, I think Pete Kwiatkowski might have to look at maybe doing more three-man front with a hybrid in as opposed to two down with two hybrids, because that's where your strength lies. I mean, that's why he makes a heck of a lot more money than I do and is in the position he's in as a defensive coordinator, and I'm sitting here doing a podcast talking about this. But, man, we know you don't have a one single entity that can make up for the loss of Joseph Osai. Mm-hmm. We know that we talked about the question marks at inside linebacker. What are you going to do there? And that's a competition where I'm just looking at, you know, the insider, and Luke Brockermeyer's name has come up as a guy who could push for playing time at middle linebacker. Delia Dayaway is in the thick of that competition. And that, I think that tells you where that competition is, that you have a guy that missed all of spring ball in the portal and is now back and has a chance to go win a job. David Benda had a really good spring. So I have no – like, that is the most wide-open camp battle, is for that inside linebacker spot next to DeMarvian Overshown. So you take that into consideration with the – I won't say issues, but uncertainty, at least from the outside looking in, that you've got on the edge – man, if I'm Pete Kwiatkowski and Bo Davis, I've just got to figure out how do you best maximize that depth and talent you've got in your interior.
And that's where it's good to have a guy like Kwiatkowski, who we've seen has done many things on the front, and you can actually have the amount of guys and how you're using up front impact the amount of linebackers you have to play. So when you tie those things together, if it comes down to the best 11, it's something that he's had to do before.
And even Ojimo's a guy that can play on the edge. Like, we've seen him kind of have that skill set where he can kick out to a wider shade and rush the passers. So there's a little look at some camp battles as camp gets started officially underway on Friday, reporting day on Thursday. We'll have it for you. All camp updates at Horns 24/7, and we will keep talking about it here on Longhorn Blitz as we get you closer to the start of the first season of the Steve Sarkisian era, which, as we sit here and record, we are 33 days away from the opener. Those of you listening to this on published date, 32 days away from kickoff. So that's where we are right now, and that's going to do it for this quickie episode, if you will, of Longhorn Blitz sans Rod Babers.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Matt, thanks so much for the time, man.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
I always appreciate the time and the knowledge that Rod Babers gives us each and every week. You can hear Rod B each and every weekday on The Horn on the Triple Option, where you can also catch myself and Craig Wade. That's The Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. And thanks to Matt, get all of our archives. Our classic interviews and shows are available on the Longhorn Blitz SoundCloud page.
Yep, just type in Longhorn Blitz.
Don't forget to search Horns 24/7 anywhere you get your podcasts. Click that follow button to get every episode of Longhorn Blitz, along with the flagship and State of Recruiting. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. For the Horn family, for the Horns 24/7 family, I am Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, and we will catch you again on the next episode.
You've been listening to Longhorn Blitz with Horns247.com. Remember, for the latest Longhorn news 24/7, visit Horns247.com.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.